Please turn with me in the Word of God to John chapter 19, John 19, and we will commence our reading at verse 17. The Lord has laid this passage of Scripture upon my heart, and the theme that we will look at, or the text that we will look at, just in a few minutes' time, John 19, verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then said, therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Ending the reading at verse 30, which is our text, and particularly the words that the Savior speaks here, it is finished. And we want to think about the finished work of Christ just for a little time at this service. Let's pray, ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank thee for a conscious sense of thy presence today. We thank thee for answered prayer thus far. We rejoice that we have already been led to the cross and to the resurrection of our Savior. And we pray that these truths will be instilled afresh into our minds and upon our hearts this day. We come to thee seeking now for understanding, for the opening up of our minds and our hearts, for a work of the Holy Ghost to be done. Help the preacher to bring the message. Help the hearer today to give attention to the Word of God, and help us all to rejoice in the dear Savior of whom we have been reading and the one that we will be thinking about for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We celebrate and commemorate this Easter weekend, particularly the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. These truths ought to be upon our minds every day. We ought to think of our Savior and the great truths surrounding all that he came to do and what he is to his people. And certainly these aspects, his death and his resurrection, should be uppermost upon our minds and our hearts. But this time of the year especially brings us to those events in the closing period of our Lord's ministry. The triumphal ride of Christ into Jerusalem that we were thinking about last Lord's Day. The setting up of the Lord's table that was instituted not long before the cross. The agony in Gethsemane's garden when the Savior agonized there before the Father. The betrayal and the arrest that took place in that same garden. His appearance before Caiaphas, then over to Herod for a little time, or to Pilate, then a little time to Herod, and back again to Pontius Pilate. The infamous trial he endured, which culminated in the crowning of Christ with the thorns and the frightful scourging that he had to endure. Now the Savior is led through the streets, through the city of Jerusalem, outside the city walls, amidst all the shouting and the jeering of the crowd. And he is brought to the hill that is called Calvary, and there he's crucified between two thieves. We hear so much and we see so much which takes place in those 6 hours of suffering when the Lord Jesus Christ, in a very real sense, was bearing away our sin. Among the voices that day that we hear was indeed the voice of the Savior himself. Our blessed Lord had important things to say in his dying hours. These sayings of infinite importance are filled with powerful truths and applications. There were, as I'm sure you know, 7 distinct sayings of Christ or cries of Christ upon the cross during these hours of crucifixion, which are recorded for us in the Gospels. And we see them happening in this order. First of all, there was an amazing prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. And then there was an amazing pardon, when the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And the repentant thief found mercy in the sight of the Lord, in Luke 23 and 43. And then we have an amazing provision. We're thinking now about what we read here concerning the mother of our dear Savior being handed over to John, and really John being told, this is now your mother, you take care of her, you bring her home, you look after her as you would your own mother. There's an amazing pain, one that we will never fully understand, when from the lips of our dear Savior there was the cry, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A great cry of separation. And then there's an amazing pang that the Savior experienced when he cried, I thirst, also recorded in John chapter 19. And then there's an amazing procurement. In the words of our text, this victorious cry, it is finished, verse 30 of John 19. And then the 7th cry, an amazing proclamation when Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And that's recorded in Luke 23 and verse 46. I want to single out this one cry, the 6th cry of Christ upon the cross, when Jesus said, it is finished, here in John 19 and verse 30. Of all the sayings of Christ upon the cross, perhaps none is more important or poignant than this one recorded by John, only by John. The apostle recalls the sacrifice of the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12 in this passage. Hyssop is a small plant that was used to sprinkle the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorposts of the Hebrews' homes. We read about that in Exodus 12 and 22. And John's gospel relates that it was the day of the preparation, the day before the actual Passover, when Jesus was sentenced to death, back there in verse 14 of chapter 19. And he was sacrificed on the cross. And if you go on to read Just beyond what we read, you'll see that in verse 31 of John 19. And then John continues. Verse 33, we didn't read this verse, but just look at it for a moment. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, or dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And of course, this recalled the instruction in Exodus 12 and verse 46 concerning the Passover lamb. No bones were to be broken. Jesus Christ died at the ninth hour. That was 3 o'clock in the afternoon our time. Just about the same time when the Paschal lamb or the Passover lamb was slaughtered in the temple. And Christ became the Paschal or Passover lamb. As noted by Paul, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. The innocent lamb was slain for our sins so that we might be forgiven. The sixth word is a recognition that his sufferings were over and the task was completed. Jesus, in obedience to the Father and out of love, redeems us through his sacrifice and his death upon the cross. Everything that he came to do is now finished. His miracles, his preaching, the procuring of eternal salvation for his people. And this is a great encouragement, both to the saint and to the sinner, that there is the finished work of Christ. The work is done. The sacrifice is complete, once and for all. Redemption is accomplished. And all we have to do in this sense is to receive that which has already been done for us. And we receive that, we appropriate that by faith. We come and we trust in his work, in his merit, in his finished work. I want to think just for a little time about the finished work of Christ. I want to suggest to you just some thoughts as we have this meeting today. Number one, his allocated ministry was finished. The ministry that the Father had given him to do. He began that ministry at the age of 30 at his baptism, when the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended and lighted upon him, and the voice of the Father was heard to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." For another 3.5 years, Jesus Christ, if we were to give a summary, we would give it in the words of Scripture, he went about doing good. That really summarizes those 3.5 years of Christ. We think of the mighty miracles that he performed. We think of the powerful sermons that he preached. We think of the searching teachings of Christ that he brought before the people of his time. We think of his acts of mercy and love. And we come to the final days now of his ministry. He travels from Bethany to Jerusalem, where he celebrates the Passover with his disciples and institutes the Lord's Supper. He engages with what we call, or we have termed it, the table talk with the disciples in John 14 and very possibly chapter 15 as well. He prays the mightiest prayer that we have on record anywhere, the great high priestly prayer of John 17. And then he goes to his tearful agony in Gethsemane. From Gethsemane, he is brought to the palace of the high priest, and then to Pilate's judgment hall, over to Herod's palace for a time, and then back to Pilate, where he is sentenced and condemned to die. From Pilate's judgment hall, he is led to Golgotha. And is right here at this spot, Jesus Christ is crucified for our sins. He suffers on our behalf. The judgment of a holy God is poured upon him as he bears our sin in his own body at the tree. His public ministry is over. It's finished. Thank God he continues with a heavenly ministry at the right hand of his Father, right to this day and right until Jesus comes again, he is our heavenly high priest who prays for his people, who intercedes for us, who even now has an interest in what is happening here. Jesus Christ has a ministry in heaven, but it's a ministry of a different kind. As far as his earthly ministry is concerned, it's finished, it's over. Secondly, the announcements of the Old Testament were finished. Jesus Christ fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, symbols, and foreshadowings of the coming Messiah. From Genesis to Malachi, there are over 300 specific prophecies detailing the coming of the Anointed One, and these were all fulfilled in Christ from the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head in Genesis 3 and verse 15, to the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings in Malachi 4 and verse 2. All the prophecies of Christ's life, character, and ministry and death were fulfilled and finished at the cross. We think of the temple and all that that signified. We think of the priesthood. We think of the offerings that were made that were all figures of the true. The hymn writer said, finished all the types and shadows of the ceremonial law. Finished all that God had promised. Death and hell no more shall awe. It is finished. Saints, from hence your comfort draw. These beautiful lines were written by Jonathan Evans, who lived over 200 years ago and was a preacher of the gospel. I came across a fifth verse that is not in our hymn book that says, happy souls approach the table, taste the soul-reviving food. Nothing half so sweet and pleasant as the Savior's flesh and blood. It is finished. It is finished. Christ hath borne the heavy load. And so all those prophecies of the Old Testament regarding the life and the ministry of Christ are over. They're finished now at the cross. The third little point is this. His atonement was finished. The Greek word that is translated here, it is finished, is an accounting term that means paid in full. When Jesus uttered those words, he was declaring that the debt owed to his Father was paid. It was wiped away completely and forever. Now, Jesus did not wipe away any debt that he personally owed to the Father. This was a vicarious atonement. It was substitutionary. He was paying the debt of our sin, the sins of his people whom he would redeem, the debt of sin. Just before his arrest in the garden, Jesus prayed his last public prayer, asking the Father to glorify him, just as Jesus had glorified the Father when he was on earth, having finished the work which thou gavest me to do, said the Lord in John 17 and verse 4. The work Jesus was sent to do was to seek and to save that which was lost. It was to make an atonement for sin, the sins of his people, and to reconcile sinful men to a holy God. We believe today in an accomplished redemption. And this is the only way of salvation, the only way of forgiveness, and the only way to heaven. It is only through the death of Jesus Christ and all that that means in the great atonement that he made that we can have forgiveness of sins. The death of Christ is the fulfillment in history of the very mind of God, the very intent of God. There is no place in seeing Jesus Christ as a martyr. His death was not something that happened to him, something that might have been prevented. His death was the very reason why he came. It was the ordination of God. Never build your case for forgiveness on the idea that God the Father is a loving God and merely because of his love he's going to forgive our sin. That contradicts the revealed truth of God in Jesus Christ. It makes the cross unnecessary and Christ's redemption much to do about nothing. God forgives sin. And I want you to really get this into your heart today. God forgives sin only because of the death of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness could not be obtained in any other way, only through the death of His Son. The greatest note of triumph that ever sounded in the ears of a startled universe was that which was sounded on the cross from the lips of Jesus Christ here in our text. It is finished. This is the final word in the redemption of sinners. We need nothing more. There's nothing more to be done. You come to the cross, you come by faith, you come to the finished work of Jesus Christ. So His atonement was finished. The fourth point, as we think of this victorious cry, is His agony was finished. He would suffer no more. Matthew Henry, writing on this thought, he said, "The counsels of the Father concerning His sufferings were now fulfilled." That's an amazing statement. When we think about the counsels of the Father, the counsels of eternity, leads us back, if you don't know what we're referring to, before the creation of the heavens and the earth, before this world was ever called into existence, there was a God in the Trinity of His persons sitting together in counsel the one with the other. And all that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit planned to do with regard to the redemption of man, regarding all the sufferings that Jesus Christ would have to endure, was planned then and finished now in time upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ felt the rejection of the Jews throughout His entire ministry. We know that. He came unto His own received Him not. All manner of evil was said against Him falsely. He was derided and mocked, especially towards the end. And then we think of His physical sufferings, first in Gethsemane, in the agony of prayer that caused Him to sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And then at Gabbatha, where He was spat upon and slapped and crowned with thorns and scourged. And we can hardly imagine how frightful these lashes were. And then He's brought to Calvary as He carried His own cross part of the way. And then we think of the crucifixion itself, the nails that were driven into His hands and into His feet, and all the pain that was caused in the body of Jesus Christ as a result of the crucifixion. We can try to imagine it. We can try to enter in, because we all know what physical suffering is like. And these were the sufferings of Christ there upon the cross, and how horrific they were. The spiritual and the eternal sufferings should not be overlooked either. And in the past, we've spoken about these things too. Because not only was there that outward physical suffering of Christ that men could see and in a small way, albeit, identify with, but there were the eternal and spiritual sufferings that were infinite, laid upon Jesus Christ at the cross as He took our sin upon Himself, and He was punished for our sin. Now He comes to breathe His last. And just before He commends His soul to the Father and He bows His head in death, He cries this note of victory: "It is finished." His sufferings are over, and over forever. When He came that first time, He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And so in the incarnation, we have one who was ordained to be smitten of God and afflicted, one who was ordained to be wounded for our transgressions, one who was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, one who gave His back to the smiters. And all these things pointed to the sufferings of Christ. But how different when He comes again. And He comes without sin, unto salvation. He's not coming to suffer again. He's not coming to be crucified again. His sufferings were over right now at the cross when He cries, "It is finished." And then, fifthly and finally, His acts of obedience were finished. Jesus Christ is the obedient servant. Now, you will know that the four Gospels bring out certain aspects of Christ's person and ministry. In the Gospel of Matthew, he is the kingly Messiah. In the Gospel of Luke, he is the Son of Man, emphasizing his humanity. In the Gospel of John, he is the Son of God, and his deity is set forth. He is the eternal Word. But in Mark's Gospel, he is the tireless servant of God and man. And the key word in that Gospel is straightway, indicating immediate action that was repeated throughout his life, and we find that throughout the book of Mark. As the servant, he was obedient to his Father's will. Christ obeyed the law of God. Christ obeyed the will of God in all that that meant. Every jot and tittle was fulfilled meticulously in Christ in his obedience. And now as he dies, his obedience as the servant is finished. Soon he would be glorified with that same glory that he had before he came into the world. Soon he would be seated at his Father's right hand. I want you today to rejoice in these wonderful truths. This victorious cry of Christ upon the cross of Calvary, reminding us that everything he came to do was completed. It's finished. And that's the cry of triumph in our hearts today. If I could conclude in two sentences, I would say this. Everything that had to be done by Christ was done. Secondly, there's nothing more for us to do. That's the message. That's the message in these words of Christ. It is finished. Everything he had to do is done. There's nothing more for us to do. Maybe you're in this meeting today and you're not saved. You don't belong to Christ. You haven't been able to rejoice to the same extent, maybe not at all, in what I've said. To the believer, this cry is a victorious cry, and we rejoice today in a crucified Savior and his finished work. But maybe you're not in that position. You're unconverted, you're out of Christ, you're lost in your sin. I just want to say, as we close the service, dear sinner, receive this, believe this, and rest in this alone for your salvation. It is all done, done forever, finished. And as the hymn writer said, once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for bringing us to this passage of Scripture. We thank Thee that what we read today was the infallible, inerrant, unchanging Word of the living God. We thank Thee that this record is true. It is without flaw. And we thank Thee that all that Christ came to do has been done. And therefore, on the cross, He could cry in absolute sincerity and truth, "It is finished." And in this we rejoice. For so many gathered here and listening in, we have come to trust in the finished work of Christ. But there are others, Lord, and they have not come to that place as yet. And they're still in their sin. And they're still on the road to a lost eternity. Lord, speak to them today. Help them to see that what Jesus came to do is a finished work. And what they must do in turn is to trust it, is to believe in it, is to rest upon it, to simply receive it as the gospel tells us by faith. And may there be that reaching forth to Christ this day and a trusting in the finished work of Calvary. Bless your word. Honor Christ as a result. Exalt him in our minds and hearts this day because we ask it in his name. Amen.